Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're having a great time this week talking about an absolute priority in the Christian life, maybe priority number one in terms of what we're called to do by the Lord, and that is abiding in His love. It sounds wonderful, but often it escapes us. It escapes people's understanding. And so this week, what I've been trying to do is just dive into the teaching of the Bible and the Catholic Church on this, and Jesus' own words especially, but also the apostles, St. John in particular, and St. Paul. Paul talks about being in Christ, very similar to the abiding that John, the apostle, is teaching us about as he writes down in the gospel the words of Jesus. And the fundamental work of our life, oh, before I mention that, I just want to say, if you haven't had a chance to listen to the program, again, I'll just mention that to you. You can find it at our website, Renewal Ministries, or right here at Ave Maria. Download the Ave Maria app. I also want to say, I didn't take a moment to thank people. We got some wonderful donations at the end of the year with the Christmas holiday. I just want to thank those who did support us financially to keep the program going. We're not in a position of losing it or anything like that. Nothing desperate, but just the support really does mean a lot. It's great. So I ended a program yesterday, or a good part of the program was kind of defining what is meant by abiding. You know, Jesus's command, and I described it here as a top priority, is once we become believers, once we're baptized into Christ, and if we're baptized into Christ as an infant, this life of God make it possible for us to become children of God has already happened. The presence and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is there. And so the presence of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is even at work in the little children, but they don't quite know it fully yet, but the time will come when they do. And what is the fundamental priority for every single person who's baptized into Christ between that moment until He calls us home and it'll be part of our existence forever in absolute perfection and love, in union with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is this abiding. Because as Jesus described it, it means living in Him and Jesus living in us. And together living in the Father, Father living in us, all of it by God's grace in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it begins there, this union, this communion. And that's what the life of the kingdom is. And it's in us each individually, but we're a communion. You know, Jesus talked about He's the vine, we're the branches. Well, the church is the body of Christ. Every one of us is united to Him like a vine, a branch united to the vine. And the church is fruitful, animating, powerful, grace-filled when baptized people are aware of who they are and what the Lord has done, and that right now, Jesus is completely attentive, and the Father is attentive to the grace that's flowing, their presence in our lives, and that their desire, their call, their command to us is that we live each day walking with the Lord and abiding in Him. So if you're a carpenter or a surgeon or a teacher, a priest, a high school basketball player, whatever you are, if you're baptized into Christ, all those things you're doing, where you're deployed, where your job is, where your vocation is as a parent or whatever, all those things are good. They're important, and do them well, excellently, for the glory of God. But what makes it all possible and what the Lord is expecting from us, having deployed us into these areas of life, that wherever we are, we're the light that's in the world. We're animating those environments, those places, those communities, those people, those relationships. We're animating them as children of the light by taking seriously this call to pay attention each day to the relationship that we now have, the union that we now have in our lives with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we're pursuing that relationship, and we're locked into it. We understand, hey, this is the foundation of my life. Living this out all day, every day, day and night, is the ground of my being. It's the purpose why I'm living, most fundamentally. That's the normal Christian life. Christian life isn't just, okay, I got to keep some of these commandments and I got to make sure I get to church. No, it's not what it is. Those are all elements, key critical elements of it all in living out who you actually are. But it's living with this awareness that's so absolutely critical. And unfortunately, so many people who are baptized are just not tuned into it. It's just not a priority. They're not going to church anymore, or just baptized, but indifferent to it all. Or people are leaving. Or there's a Christian, as Pope John Paul II used to call it, a Christian minimalism that can characterize our lives. Like, hey, just tell me, what's the least I got to do to just keep one foot in? He said that was part of the disease that was infecting the church. And I think it's still there. But truly, friends, that means you're in a lukewarm state. And what does Revelation, the book of Revelation, say? What does the Lord say in one of his letters to one of the churches there? I think it's the church in Laodicea. You know, he said, you make me sick. That's pretty intense. When the doctor, the ultimate physician, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, diagnoses our condition, you're sick. You make him sick. You're so sick in that condition. We make him sick. He's responding to it. It makes him want to vomit people out of his mouth, because here he is bringing the kingdom and the presence and the life, the full transformation, a treasure that's worth everything. And we just are kind of indifferent to it. It's like, oh man, I'm just not that interested in it. But I suppose I need to buy some fire insurance, pay a little bit of attention to it if there's something to this. That's insanity. That's crazy. But that's the condition of a lot of people. And so we need to be communicating this. I think a lot of people don't know what they don't know. They don't even know this stuff. And they don't know this stuff, and it's not a lived reality. It's not, as John will say in 1 John chapter 4, he said, we have come to know and to believe in the love that has been given to us. And know means, we've come to know means experiential knowledge. Like he's saying, man, I know this love. I've experienced this love. This love has now consumed my heart. This is real. This is real presence of a real person. This is experiential knowledge, as I said. And then we believe. He said, we believe in this love. That is, I've radically abandoned myself to it. I've surrendered. I'm all in. I'm living from it. I just love back. The Lord's teaching me how to love. Love my neighbor, to love God, to get my loves in right order. You just think about the saints talk about this kind of stuff in particular kinds of language, but they're talking about the same thing. Think about Bernard of Clairvaux. I mentioned a number of months ago, I came across a beautiful quote of his. When he began his conversion and he began to go deep, he said, the Lord took me to the wine cellar. The wine is the new wine of the Holy Spirit. Took me to the wine cellar and reordered my loves. What are the loves? Love of God, love of neighbor, love of self. And pretty much, we're born into the reversal of that. It's called the flesh. Me, me, me first, me, my love, what I want for me and my pleasures in my life. And then probably a few people around me I'm loving, but often loving them in a way that's about my own pleasure and my own interest. And then maybe loving God. Well, that's total reversal. That's a fallen world. That's a darkened mind. And so this grace that we're given in baptism and new life in the church, and the life of the sacraments and bringing us in union with the Lord, the reordering of God's love happens as a reality. We are changed. He changes us if we're abiding in him. Because part of that change will be, that's fruit. Part of that fruit is, I'm loving God first above all things. I love what God loves. I want to do what God wants me to do. And my life starts to change. And oh man, I want to love my neighbor the way Jesus loves my neighbor. I see my neighbor is my brother or sister, or at least image and likeness of God, and they don't even know they can become God's. I want to love them. I want to will their good. That's what I want to do. And then I want to love myself in the right kind of way. I'm going to stop acting like a slave. I'm going to stop pursuing things that bring me pleasure, 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 distraction, distraction, ego, ego. I'm going to see myself in light of God's love for me. And I'm going to come into agreement with my Father in who he knows me to be. And that's who I'm going to accept as who I am and live it out. That's what I'm going to do. So critical. So just yesterday described a definition. I'm going to read it today and tomorrow again, just a kind of way of describing it, two ways. Abiding in Scripture refers to the stable, living communion between God and the human person, established by grace, God's gift, sustained by faith, radical abandonment of ourselves to the Lord, obedience, which means, yes, I embrace your commandments, Lord. They become my food, like my master, like my brother Jesus. Love. Love is at the center of it. God is love, and I'm now living the life, the Christ life. I'm becoming like God. That means love is at the center of my life, and it's a love defined by Jesus, not by the Beatles. By Jesus, he defined what love is. The sacraments and the sacraments that were given is continued strength to flow. I mean, just this constant flow of God's grace and mercy in the life of the church, animated by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Another way to describe the abiding is to remain in Christ by grace, to live from his life, to dwell in his love and his truth. Again, the way he defines life, love, and truth, not the way the world does, and to allow God to remain actively present within me as a believer, because he's not going to force himself. We're free. Lord, I welcome you. That's the prayer, right? And it will produce fruit unto eternal life. It's going to lead to eternal rewards for us. It's going to lead, if we're fruitful, to help bring other people into the kingdom. It glorifies God because the kingdom is being revealed. It glorifies the Son because what he promised, what he did for us, is made manifest in the world. Saints come to be, and they're the light of the world. We're the light of the world. That's the journey that we're on. Abiding isn't just like merely moral imitation of something, or it's not just an emotional awareness or simply an intellectual assent. It's like ontological. It's at the ground of being, at the ground of existence itself in my being. It's the divine life made possible through us in union with Jesus. Jesus not only brought down the kingdom of our enemy, destroyed the power, the work of the flesh and the devil, and swallowed up death in victory, he brought new life. He brought his life. And his passion is to come and live in us and dwell in us. That's at the heart of it. John 15:1-10, we touched on that a little bit. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, remember, we can actually approach our Christian life like do-gooding, for example. Like, we're not going deep into this stuff. We don't have a prayer life. We're just being nice to people, being good to people. We're good people. And the church is just about be good to people. Well, there's a lot of truth to that, but Jesus is telling us what he wants, the kind of acts and good acts he wants to flow from something, not just a legalism and not just a way of like a moral system again, like do-gooding. He wants everything to flow from a relationship because it's him producing this fruit that will last in us. He produces it. He gets the glory. Yeah, we get eternal life and a reward as well, but it's really about glorifying the Father and the Son the way the Son glorified the Father. That's what we get to do. And friends, the world is totally oblivious to this, and it's so easy to get suckered totally into the rhythms of the world and miss the opportunity and die fruitless. That's a nightmare. Hope you can join me tomorrow. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.